Pastor Sermon is Carlos Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming. Good afternoon, brethren. I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath day so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you might be. We've had a very warm week in Puerto Rico. It's been just scattered showers here and there, but mostly already in the low to mid-90s in some parts, so we're definitely getting that summer feel here. But it's always a blessing when we can get some rain in between. And as always, thank you for your continued prayers on Mom and for everything that the church does with regards to prayers for her. So we're greatly grateful for that. Okay, brethren, let's begin today's sermon in the beginning of God's Word to the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 20. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. Reading out of the Modern English Version, it says, "The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." Well, brethren, I typically begin the sermon with what is going on in the world, and quite frankly, everything that seems to be wrong with the world. It is something I do to draw your attention to what the sermon topic is going to be, and how current events really have a biblical meaning. However, today I'm going to do things a bit differently, especially because of the occasion and topic I will be talking to you about. I've had this sermon in mind for quite some time now and wanted to wait until today to give it to you. And I'm sure you'll know why as we go through the main message for today. Tomorrow, Sunday, May the 9th, is a day where in America we commemorate mothers and their role in our lives with the celebration of Mother's Day. This is a day that should be taken into consideration every single day because of the effects mothers have in our lives. Mother's Day began way back in the early 20th century in the year 1914. Then, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed May 9th, 1914, the first Mother's Day in the United States. And it actually fell that first year on a Sabbath. He asked Americans on that day to give a public thank you to their mothers and all mothers. Interestingly enough, tomorrow is also May 9th, and exactly 107 years later from the original proclamation. President Wilson was the first American president to write this proclamation, and he understood the importance of mothers across all areas of our life. And he also knew there needed to be a sense of gratitude for what all mothers do in their lives, with their families, and with themselves. However, today's approach to the importance of mothers will take a spiritual and biblical approach that I hope and pray you will get something out of this message to apply in your life. I've titled today's sermon, God's Purpose for Mothers. God's Purpose for Mothers. We will look at the purpose God has for mothers in our life through the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. A very familiar chapter to all of you, I'm sure, because it talks about several verses we have heard at some point many, many times, and that is the chapter of the virtuous woman. Secondly, we will look at the different characteristics and traits of a mother through Scripture and examples of God's Word with them. Finally, we will look at the symbolism of motherhood in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament. The application of these scriptures today will help us gauge an understanding of just how important mothers are in our life, and God's very special, unique, and one-of-a-kind purpose is for them in our lives today. Before we begin with the main message, let's look at some brief background information regarding the word mother. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word mother has different meanings. One, a female parent. Two, an old or elderly woman. Three, maternal tenderness or affection. And four, to give birth to give rise to. Also, the word mother has different definitions from the Strong's Concordance. Strong's 517, from the Hebrew word em, which is spelled E-M, meaning a mother. Strong's 3384, from the Greek word meter, which is spelled M-E-T-E-R, meaning mother. In addition to the Strong's Concordance, there is also probably a familiar word to you in the Aramaic language for mother, and that is ima, which is spelled I-M-A, and also different variations, such as ima, E-E-M-A, ima, I-M-M-A, and ima, E-M-A. Also, interesting note on the word mother is that it is found 245 times in Scripture. And this is taking it from the King James Version of the Bible. Now, one interesting aspect with Scripture is that we all know the prophets, both major and minor in the Bible, and how God used them to deliver His word at the appointed time it needed to be delivered. However, behind each of the prophets in Scripture, there is a set of parents behind their creation. Second, to obviously God allowing it in the first place. Let's look at some examples of mothers from Scriptures as we begin to look more in depth into the sermon today. We have Eve, as we just read, the first mother. There are also three distinct mothers that are not mentioned in Scripture. Now, there's possible connections and theories throughout history, but I'm not going to get into that today. And I'm talking about Abraham's, Isaiah's, and Elijah's mother. We have Nitzavah, which is David's mother, Abigail, Daniel's mother, Jochebed, Moses' mother, obviously Mary, Jesus the Christ, Elizabeth, from John the Baptist, Bathsheba, Solomon's, Eunice, just Timothy's, and also Hannah. The interesting story of the mother of the prophet Samuel, because of what she did once she was able to have a child. And you can read that in your own time in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2 through chapter 2 and verse 21. Now that we have our background with the word mother and its meanings and history in the Bible, let's look at the first element for our main message today, and that is the role of God with mothers, as it is stated in Proverbs 31. This is a chapter that I'm sure all of you have read at some point in your life. It is the last chapter of the book of Proverbs written by King Solomon. And it ends with an interesting and unique set of words that allows all of us to comprehend its main message to us. Solomon, in all his wisdom that we are all familiar with, ends the book of Proverbs with an analogy that has to do with mothers today. God created motherhood, not just as a physical and literal meaning of what it means to be a mother, but also to serve an important and specific purpose for all of us who are called sons or daughters in our own families. Solomon understood this, and chapter 31 relates the message of knowing how to set aside a wise decision-making process for all who have to endure specific times and instances in their lives. Proverbs 31 is the staple of what mothers do in our lives. And the impact they have are evident because it is what God wanted them to be in our lives in the first place. Let's turn to, if you haven't already, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And we'll begin with verses 1 through 5. Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. It says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law." We notice almost immediately that King Lemuel's mother establishes the basic precepts of all mothers that have ever lived. And that is that she gives him counseling, advice, and wisdom for the decisions to be made in his life. The mother of King Lemuel offers advice because it is inherently important to understand and note that kingdoms often fall due to inadequate listening or heeding to advice given to begin with. These opening verses set the stage for what people in leadership roles need to understand. But not just leaders back then, or even in this present age, but also to everyone who is able to know what to do given certain situations in life. King Lemuel's mother offers these words in order to remind the king to not fall for the things of man and not forget the law that has been taught in his life. Let's continue now in verses 6 through 9. Here, Proverbs 31. It says, "Give strong drink to him who is ready to perish, and wine to those who are of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." These verses relate an important component of what wisdom needs to establish in our lives. The words to follow represent the crucial aspect of knowing how to manage and handle certain situations in life. And as it was back then during Solomon's time, the same can be said about today. Now, I ask you this regarding your mother at some point in your time. Have you ever heard or are familiar with the following phrases? Mothers know best. Do what your mom tells you. A mother's intuition is never wrong. Mothers have a sixth sense about things in life. A mother understands what a child does not say. These common phrases that have been said throughout mankind's time on this physical earth are just some of the common sayings that are made in reference to mothers. Mothers always knew what would be best because God gave them the wisdom, intelligence, and knowledge about life. The same can be said about the verses we just read. The situation is clear and evident. The concern of King Lemuel's mother is attributed by the words she is expressing. And I'm sure we all, at some point, have gone through that particular process at some point in our lives with our own mothers. God gave mothers a unique aspect of knowing just how important it would be for us to listen to them. God instilled a great deal of wisdom for them to impart to us. Mothers don't just say things to nag us, although at some point in our childhood we probably thought so. However, as we grow older, and I pray much wiser and more astute, we realize that all those times our mothers would tell us something or say something would be because they have been there, done that. Mothers do not want us to continue to make the same mistakes in life that they probably had, and God imparted that wisdom on them to make sure we would correct our own self. Let's continue in Proverbs 31, this time reading verses 10 through 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her, so that he will have no lack of gain. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, and gives food to her household, and a portion to her maiden. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She clothes herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle does not go out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she will rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the teaching of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." These verses talk about the familiar epilogue of the virtuous woman, which I'm sure all have read at some point in our life during our time studying God's Word. The virtuous woman is a tribute to the qualities, lifestyle, and importance a virtuous woman has in the life of a family. Each of these verses represent different attributes and qualities that we have all witnessed in our families at some point. It's interesting that these verses, which were written so long ago, thousands of years ago in fact, can be related to what we see today in families. Of course, those families who follow God's word as we are here today. The virtuous woman is often related and associated with how a wife should be in her life for her family. And therefore, it is then also related to motherhood. Starting in the second part of verse 10, it says, "For her worth is far above rubies." This is stating the value of a virtuous woman, a mother, cannot be compared with the physical things of the world, because you cannot put a price for everything she does. verses 11 and 12 talk about the concept of trust and doing good instead of evil. Also, several qualities that we see in the purpose for God's mothers when He created them. The first part of verse 15 alludes to something we have all been a part of with our mothers, when it says, she also rises while it is yet night. How many times during our childhood, teenage years, and even adulthood, have we experienced our mothers being up before anybody else, having food ready for the family, having the pot of coffee ready, school lunches, snacks, and starting the day before anyone else? Verse 17 states that she clothes herself with strength. This character trait is especially important because God imparted mothers with the strength to be able to carry out their mission and purpose in life. Mothers cannot be who they are if God did not give them the spiritual traits needed to take part in life. A mother's strength is in her heart, and God gave that unique quality for the betterment of the family. Verse 25 reiterates this point once again when it says, strength and honor are her clothing. Verse 26 states that she opens her mouth with wisdom. This is something I'm sure we have all experienced in our lives with our mothers. God gave them that wisdom to impart to her family because God knew her family would need it at all times. Verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Obviously, the outside is not the most important quality to have, but the fear of the Lord is something that is most important for any person. And that is something God gave mothers to instill into their families. No matter what else could happen in life, the fear of the Lord must come above all. And a virtuous woman is a mother who God has made to deliver a particular purpose in mind. Now, let's look at the second element for the sermon today, and that is the characteristics and traits of a mother, and we will look at each specific trait with the example of the application from Scripture. There are seven unique characteristics and traits that God gave mothers to exemplify and do in their families. And we will look at each one separately and find out what they are and how they serve their purpose in our life. Number one, a mother brings joy to the house. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 113, verses 4 through 9. Psalms, chapter 113, verses 4 through 9. It says, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who looks down on the things that are in heaven and on the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, even with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a dwelling, making her the joyful mother of children. Let's turn to the book of 3 John now, first and only chapter in this book, verses 3 and 4. 3 John, verses 3 and 4. It says, For I greatly rejoiced when brothers came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Number two, a mother brings compassion to her family. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 13 through 15. Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 13 through 15. It says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget." Number three, a mother brings comfort to the house. Let's continue here in the book of Isaiah, but this time chapter 66, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 13 and 14. It says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you shall see this, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servant, and his indignation toward his enemies." Number four, a mother keeps life lessons through the heart. Luke chapter 2, verses 45 through 52. A familiar set of verses detailing Mary, the mother of Christ, and her words to the people. Luke chapter 2, verses 45 through 52. It says, "When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him," talking about Christ. "After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you dealt with us like this? Look, your father and I have anxiously searched for you.' He said to them, 'How is it that you search for me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?' But they did not understand the word which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." Number five, a mother has an intuition about things. Let's read the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here, we will read a very, very familiar set of verses to all of us, talking about our Messiah's first miracle, performed at the wedding in Cana with turning the water into wine. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come.' mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Number six, a mother provides the gift of life through God. I'm sorry, Brandon. Looks like I forgot to write the verse. It's verse 3 that says, look, children are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Apologize for that. And number 7, a mother develops her children for good. Let's turn back to the book of Proverbs now, chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Here we read a familiar set of verses that I'm sure we have read many times in our life. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, a loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. These characteristics and traits represent an important part of what God's purpose for mothers is. Each trait is unique, exclusive, and presented in a way that allows the role of God for mothers to be revealed to all mankind. God knew, understood, and created motherhood as a means to have wisdom, words, and actions represented in a way that will be of great benefit to all of us. These characteristics are an important component of what mothers are in our lives. Let's look at the third and final element for the sermon today, and that is looking at what the symbolism of motherhood is. From the point of view of Scripture, of course, there are several examples in Scripture which highlight the importance of how the concept and word of motherhood is used as a reference to bigger things that are not just used in a literal sense. This symbolism, as we're about to read from Scripture, allows us to see the bigger picture in terms of what motherhood represents in the Bible throughout different examples. We will look at 8 different instances and references towards the concept of motherhood. Let's look at the first, Mother of all nations. Speaking of Jerusalem, unlike the nations today, let's look at the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 22 through 26. Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 through 26. It says, for it is written that Abraham had 2 sons, the one by a slave woman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman through the promise. These things are an allegory, for these are the 2 covenants. The one is from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and represents the present Jerusalem, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is our mother. Number 2, mother as a symbol of wisdom. it says, do not rebuke an elder, but exhort them as a father, the younger man as brothers, the elder women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, with complete purity. Number three, motherhood as God's protection. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms once again, this time chapter 139, and we'll pick up a few verses there. Psalms chapter 139, beginning in verses 1 through 3. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from afar off. You search my path and my lying down and are aware of all my ways. And dropping down to verses 13 to 14 here in Psalms 139, it says, You brought my inner parts into being. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works, and you know me completely. Next, motherhood as God's first commandment with promise. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 12. A very familiar verse to all of us, I'm sure. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. It says, Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Next, motherhood as the law for the family. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother, for they will be a garland of grace on your head, and chains about your neck. Next, motherhood as the responsibility in life. Let's turn just a few pages here in the book of Proverbs to chapter 23. Verses 22 through 25. Another familiar set of verses to all of us. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 through 25. It says, Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who fathers a wise child will have joy of him. Your father and your mother will be glad, as she who bore you will rejoice. Finally, motherhood used as imparting the fear of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. It says, And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you will keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. The symbolism through which motherhood is used in Scripture allows us to gain a better understanding of what God provides for mothers around the world. and into our lives. Motherhood is used in these different points to symbolize the meaning of what it is like to use analogies to explain the most important aspects of life in our daily Christian living. Motherhood was designed not just literally as women to become mothers, but also for both men and women to understand and realize just how important it is to have these concepts embedded in us, as we just read both in the Old and New Testament. Let us learn to apply these concepts that we just read, both with the traits and characteristics of a mother that God imparted on them, to learning the symbolism behind everything God put in the Holy Scriptures. Mothers have always played a key and important role in the life of all those who they are associated with. God created mothers with the purpose of imparting knowledge, experience, and wisdom on family members and people around them, because God knew they would be a great and important part in His plan for all of mankind. God did not just create motherhood just to make it. It was all done meticulously, every single detail, about the role of mothers in our lives. Let us think, meditate, and appreciate the gift of motherhood. God has served His divine purpose in our lives. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 35 through 48. Here we will read about the example of Mary, from having the heart, the faith of demonstrating true motherly love with the events that led to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Luke chapter 1, verses 35 through 48. It says, "The angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was declared barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Mary said, 'I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word.' Then the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and quickly went into the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke out with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Indeed, as soon as the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a completion to those things which were told her by the Lord.' And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed.'" That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming for a closing song.